very thankful to be with you this weekend. Always love, enjoy coming here in Middle Georgia and to Cool Springs Church. I love the fact that we're having a meeting on this particular weekend, the last weekend of this year, the last day of this year, and the first day of next year. We don't have New Year's meetings in Texas. I don't know why. I mentioned it one time, and I got laughed to scorn by the brethren out there. We don't do things like that. Well, some things you might want to think about. They didn't want to think about it. You know, you think they just do everything I say. You think that they would be smart enough to do that, but they don't. So I have to come out to the southeast. Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia has New Year's meetings. I've never been to a New Year's meeting that I didn't just feel blessed, even if I was the one trying to do the preaching. The whole point is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship Him, and to, I think it is a good statement to say, well, where I was when this year ended was in the house of the Lord. And so, may the Lord dwell amongst us this weekend, and that we could say, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to turn to the book of 1 Kings, and in the 19th chapter, I want to read the first three verses. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Read the fourth verse. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. The interesting thing about this, I would say that this is the greatest crisis of faith Elijah ever had. Probably the worst thing that ever happened to him, probably the worst thing he ever did about what happened. And it was right after the greatest exhibition of faith outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You study about what Elijah did and what God did through Elijah on Mount Carmel. You study about what happened before that. You read what the Apostle Paul said about him, that he was a man of like passions as we are, but he prayed that it might not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. We've had prayers for rain during drought seasons, but here's a man who prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't for 3.5 years. There wasn't any dew on the ground for those times. God sent him to live by a brook. How's he going to eat? God sent ravens to feed him. Ravens usually wait for something to die. They don't want to sustain life. But God worked. And then the brook dried up. Well, where is he going to go now? He went to a place called Sidon. which was the capital city of the king, who was the father of Jezebel, sent him to enemy country. And he said, I have commanded a widow to sustain thee. Not a banker, not a millionaire, a widow. But he went by faith. And he saw this woman picking up sticks. He went to her and he said, make me a cake. And she said, well, we just have enough for me and my son, and then after that we're going to die. I would think I had the wrong widow. I hope that works out for you. Well, moving right along. You know what he said? Make me a cake first. Well, I would have thrown those sticks at Elijah. But he said, you make me a cake, and then you make one for you and your son. He said, because that barrel of meal is not going to waste, and that cruse of oil shall not run dry. And it happened. And they lived by faith, sustained by the hand of God. I don't think that barrel of meal was overflowing. I don't think the cruse of oil was all the way to the top, but I think it was just enough to feed them that one day. And isn't that what the Lord said in the prayer? He said, give us this day our daily bread. That was faith. And then after the end, after three and a half drought, half year drought, he challenges the prophets of Baal to see which God is true, Baal or Jehovah. They prepared an altar. You guys go first. They did everything they could to call for fire to come down from heaven, and it didn't happen. Then Elijah, by faith, he said, dig a trench around it. Fill it with water. It's a drought. It's a drought. We need that water. Don't you fill that? Fill it with water. Pour it all over the wood, too. No, buddy, you're going to call fire from heaven, right? And you're going to drown this wood. Water's precious. That's right, you do that. He prayed. He prayed one time. Fire came down, consumed the whole thing. Then he took a sword and just took care of all those prophets. But that wasn't it. That wasn't everything he did. It's not all that happened on Mount Carmel. He goes out and he starts praying. He's going to pray for rain. Now he prayed one time and fire came down. He's going to pray again. But the first prayer, there was nothing. The second prayer, there was nothing. He prayed seven times. Sends the servant out, says, what do you see? Well, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. I would have prayed an eighth time. I would have. But you know what he said? It is sufficient. By the time he got down from the mountain, the sky was filled. He said, I hear the noise of rain. What faith he showed and demonstrated on that mountain in the days and years before. And then he gets a message from Queen Jezebel. Not Jezebel herself did the prayer. She sends a messenger. He says, tomorrow about this time, you're going to be dead. The Elijah that I knew
Now, this is just me thinking. The Elijah that I knew would have said, bring it. That's what I thought. Face down 400 prophets, face down the king, stayed in enemy country in the capital city. He gets a messenger. He said, God's already taken care of this. But he runs in fear. And he runs 100 miles. He leaves his servant and he goes further into the wilderness. And he throws himself under a juniper tree. And he asked the Lord to take his life. He says, I'm not worthy. What happened? As our beloved brother Rick prayed, this 2016 has been a hard year. We have lost some precious brethren and sisters in this year. And the future is uncertain. It always has been. And if we need faith, we need it right now. But I wonder what happened to Elijah. Because I want to be strong for the church that I serve. I want to be strong for my wife and for our children. I don't want to run. I don't want to go to the juniper tree. I'd rather go to the sycamore tree. That's a lot better. You know what happens on the sycamore tree? That's where you see Jesus. That's where Jesus stops. He says, I'm coming to your house. Sycamore tree is a lot better. But have you ever been to the juniper tree? Have you? I have. We all have, haven't we? Have you ever been discouraged? Have you ever been distraught? Have you ever thought, I'm just worthless? I've really messed up this time. I'm so misunderstood. Nobody loves to have a pity party more than I do. Become my friend on Facebook. You'll see it. I send engraved invitations to my pity parties. You think I'm joking, don't you? Some of you think I'm joking. Some of you know I mean it, though. Some of you know I'm serious. But I give the best pity parties. We all have fun. But the whole purpose of it is I want you to give me attention, to make me feel better, to pat me on the head and say, we love you, Brother David. Oh, give me a break. I get so sick and tired of myself sometimes. Ridiculous. That's the juniper tree. What would drive Elijah from Mount Carmel to the juniper tree? I've wondered about it. And I've come up with some ideas that aren't worth it, a hill of beans. But I thought about it because I think about human nature. I thought about, maybe Jezebel just had this thing with him that she could just get to him. Because there are some people that just get to you. There's some people that get, they're people that, okay, for instance, my beloved brother Philip Conley, who I love dearly. You're very welcome. I love Brother Philip. I really do. I've known him a long time. Knew him when he was a kid. And we've got a good relationship. And we have a relationship. And if you see us act like this, just don't worry about it. It's just me and him. It's the way we are. Don't think he's being unchristian, uncharitable, he's being a jerk. Don't think anything like that. Don't think I'm being a jerk. But he can say anything in the world to me, and I usually can come up with something. Usually, not all the time. I'm on a roll. I gotta go with this. I'm on a roll. Remember one time I thought I preached a real good sermon. Brother Philip, in front of people, say like, well, you could have used that scripture. Well, you misapplied that scripture. Well, you didn't quote that scripture, right? Well, I would have gone over here. And so the brethren were just like, how did you let him talk to you like that? He says, just Philip, who cares? Well, did that? No, it don't bother me a bit. Why? It's Philip Conley. Big deal. Who cares? Who cares? And you think we act like that in front of you? You ought to see us at in the privacy of our own home. I enjoy it. I like it when he gives me the business. I like giving him the business. But there's a brother in the state of Texas who can do the same thing with me, and I can't think of a word to say back to him. It's going to surprise you when I tell you who it is. Can I go ahead and say it? I'm going to go ahead and tell you. It's Elder Sonny Huckabee. Brother Phil's saying, Sonny Huckabee, what? He could just say one little dry comment, and I'm like, how you doing, Brother Sonny? And he even mentions the last time we were together. The last time we were together. It's about a few weeks ago. He said something, and I was fumbling. And he goes like, I love it that you can't say anything back to me. One of these days I'll get him back. No. That's neither here nor there. Some people can do that to you. Some people can say something to you and it could be the worst thing in the world and it doesn't bother you. And then somebody can say the same thing and it goes all over you. That's just human nature. Maybe Jezebel had this with Elijah. Or maybe this. There is a scripture that Solomon wrote where it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And it's a one that we misquote, because we'll usually say, well, pride goeth before a fall, but that's not what Solomon said. Pride goeth before destruction. And it may be that Elijah was lifted up within himself, and then God left him. And he found out how weak he was without the Lord. But God knoweth. The Bible doesn't tell us why, but he ran. He left. It's a lesson to me, because there are times that I think, like, I really preached good. I think I've got it figured out. And then the next time I get up to preach, it's a miserable failure. And the Lord shows me how good a preacher I am without this Holy Spirit. You can't do it without the Lord. You can think, well, I'm in church. I know the doctrine. And then you're not getting anything out of the service, and there's people there that are weeping tears of joy, and you're wondering, what's the difference? The difference is they have the Spirit and you don't. There are times you can go to the Lord in prayer and it's just, you can just feel like it flows out of you. And there's times that it's just a struggle to put the words. We need the Lord. And we always need the Lord. And we need Him desperately now. We have lost people, but the church will continue because we have the Lord. We are not indispensable.
The church gets along fine without us, but the church needs the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something, my friends. You can't get along without the church. Church doesn't need us, but we need the church. And we need each other, but we desperately need the Lord. May God dwell among us and we feel that presence. And if we don't, go to the juniper tree and find out why. He ran 100 miles. He went 3 days in the wilderness. He went under this tree. I don't know if there's any significance to the fact that it's a juniper tree. I don't know. We have juniper trees in Texas. We get rid of them. We can't stand them. They're weeds. They're an invasive thing. They get in the way of our magnificent oak trees. I don't know what the significance that it's a juniper tree, unless it's something that we can picture in our mind. Because I know this, if I'm going to sit under a tree, the last one I'm going to pick is a juniper tree. Doesn't give much shade. But it may be that this is just what he saw. It may be matched his mood. It may be that he just couldn't take another step. But he's there. And he asked a request of God. What is the request? Let me read it again. He said, "Take me, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." I failed. I messed up. I know what I should have done, and I didn't do it. I did it before, but I just couldn't do it. And it really mattered this time, and I failed. I really did. Have y'all failed? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Every single one of us has fallen short. We've all let each other down. We've all failed each other. And we failed ourselves and we failed the Lord. That's why salvation better be by grace, or none of us is saved. Yeah, we're all working to get to the same place. And if it weren't by the grace of God, we'd all get there. By the grace of God, we have a hope of heaven. But when it's just us, this happens. Miserable failures. But yet, my friends, God hears our prayers. God knoweth His sheep. He calleth them by name. The eyes of the Lord are always on the righteous. He says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." We can leave the Lord. He won't leave us. We forsake Him. He does not forsake us. He cannot forsake Himself. We are in Christ. God does not forsake us. And even in the worst moments, whether it's circumstances or ourselves of our own creation, under this juniper tree, God sends relief. Elijah falls asleep. It says in verse 5, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, there an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat." Now that's a funny thing. That's a funny thing to me. God sends an angel. An angel touches him, wakes him up, and says, "Get up and eat." That's not what he prayed for, is it? You ever pray for something and you didn't get it? It's frustrating, isn't it? Come on, we've all gotten frustrated about that. I kept praying for it. It didn't happen. What's the matter? Doesn't God hear my prayers? Yeah, He said no. How about that? He did answer your prayers. He said no.
Can you believe it? Can you believe God says no to us? Right? Right? You ever say no to your kids? That's the only word my mother knew. Her four words were no, can't, don't, and won't. Negative, 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 negative. You can't do that. No, don't, stop, quit. Stop it, stop, go. God says no, God says no. I prayed for it. Yeah, he said no. How the audacity of, oh, this is God we're talking about. But God does things that we can do. It may not be what we asked for. But sometimes we look at circumstances and we say, this is impossible. This is the killer. This is going to get me. This is going to take me. This is bad. This is as bad as it gets. This is the worst it's ever been. We're not. It's never going to be safe. It's never going to be any good. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And what do you think God's going to do about that? Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot this year. Because I've been hearing a lot of questions. Why did God let that happen? Why did God let that happen? That's the wrong question. The right question is, what did God do about it? That's the right question. Why did God let that happen to me? Don't ask that question. Because there is an answer to that question. There is an answer. It's because you're a bankrupt, depraved, hell-deserving sinner. That's why it happened. We live in a depraved race. We are fallen from grace. That's why bad things happen. That's not very optimistic, is it? Man, we get this guy from Texas. He just tells us we're nothing but a bankrupt sinners. Well, I ain't going to lie. I'm not going to lie. And we're all sinners. But what did God do about it? That's the right question. I'll tell you what he did about it. Before the beginning of time, he chose you in Christ. He elected you in Jesus Christ. Before the beginning of time, this happened. He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son. Good things happened before this world ever began. He called you into his divine love, justified you, and will in time glorify you in heaven in immortal glory. He also put the church in the earth. He regenerated you, gave you divine life, and then if you're understanding any of this, if this is striking a chord, he has converted you and preached the gospel to the poor, and the light shone, and you saw these things. That's what God did about it. That's why I tell people everything is going to be all right. Then it is the same reason why the Shunammite woman could say when her son died, it is well. It is. It is. It is well. That's why that brother could write that song when four of his children had drowned at sea. But yet he could say, when sorrows like sea billows roll, that was a personal testimony of that man. He says, I can say, whatever my lot, I can say, it is well with my soul. That's what God has done about it. Next question is, the next right question, what do you want me to do? That's the second question. And you know what God will tell you to do? He will tell you to do the most simple thing you could ever imagine. The Apostle Paul, as Saul of Tarsus went down the road to Damascus with the intent of murdering Christians in the city of Damascus, and Jesus appeared to him, and he asked this question, what wilt thou have me to do?
Here's what God didn't say. You're going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. You're going to write most of the New Testament. You're going to baptize a whole lot of people. Oh, you're going to be stoned. You're going to have shipwreck. You're going to have to run for your life. You're going to be on the mountaintop and in the valley. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to be the apostle Paul. All those things happen, but you know what God told him? Arise and go to the city. That's it. Here is the angel of the Lord in Elijah's worst moment. And we're expecting he's going to just have all these incredible things to say. You know what he says? Get up and eat. Get up and eat. Arise and eat. And there was a cruise of water. And there was the world's first angel food cake. How about it? Am I right? It was a cake. It's all of a cake. Who made it? I think Angel did. I kind of like angel food cake. I kind of do. One of you sisters probably brought an angel food cake today, and I'll get some. Strawberries and whipped cream will do quite nicely. Don't want to eat it by itself. I'm sorry. God bless you. I won't. Kind of don't like it. Kind of don't. I don't know. Ask me tomorrow. I don't think this is the same thing here that Elijah got. But it was angel food. And angels, surprising. Nothing complicated. You don't have to make it. I already made it. There's the water. How did that water get there? Well, an angel brought it. How did the fire get there? How did the cake get there? Who put the skillet on it? Where did all this come from? It's all right there. Things happen that we don't even notice. But they happen. Things happen that we have never noticed and will never acknowledge because we don't know. But the Lord is there. Arise and eat. He ate. What did he do? Went back to sleep. Angel taps him on the shoulder. Are you going to tell him something different this time? Nope. Arise and eat. Arise and eat. Arise and eat. Arise and eat. But he adds something to it this time. He said, because the journey is too great for thee. What journey are you talking about? You're going to have to make a trip. You're going to need this. It's going to be too hard for you to do it by yourself. It's going to be too difficult for you to make it without sustenance. And my beloved friends, life is too hard without the gospel. Without the bread of life. It's too hard. I don't see how people do it. They're not happy. And I'm talking about God's people who are not doing their reasonable service. I'm not talking about the non-elect. They're not happy. I know of God's people. I'm related to God's people who have left the church, and I know they're not happy. I know it. It's too hard. Life is too difficult without the church. It's too difficult without singing, preaching, praying, and fellowship. It's too hard. I know we're not perfect. I know preachers let you down. Guess what? Y'all let preachers down. We let everybody down. There's nothing. There is a perfect church, friends. There is a perfect church, but you've got to die to get there. It's in heaven. It's in heaven. There's a perfect minister. There's a perfect pastor. It isn't me. It's not Brother Phil. It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
But this is still the church of Jesus Christ. It is the church that He built. It is still the pillar and ground of the truth. Don't nitpick it. It's the bride of Christ. It's His church. And He still walks among us and sings with us and blesses us. This is the best place on earth. Right here. You're in it right now. There's no better place than right here. David said it's the joy of the whole earth. And the whole earth may ignore it. It may diminish it. It may insult it. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this is where we serve Him. You need this bread. You need this water. Because it's too hard without it. And Elijah goes and he walks 40 days and 40 nights on the strength of this food. I take it that he didn't eat anything else but that. That's all he had. That's all he needed. This is all you need. This will get you through the worst of the worst. You don't need anything else but the gospel and the Lord's people and prayer and the presence of God. This is what you need. And what He has made, don't add anything to it. And He goes to Mount Sinai. And He sees three things. He sees three things. He sees, and I'm passing a lot of stuff because I want to get to this point. It says in verse 11, he says, "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire." Now, there were times in the Scriptures where the Lord did speak by all three of these things. He spoke by an earthquake. When Jesus died, the rocks rent. I believe that was God doing that. He spoke out of a whirlwind, and He spoke out of fire. And He sent fire to do His bidding. But He's making a point. What are you looking for? What are you expecting? What is it? What is it? I want something eye-catching. I want something that's going to reach out and grab me. I want a big event. I want something that outdoes everything. I want an earthquake. No, you don't. I want a fire. No, you don't. I want the wind. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. What you want is what Elijah heard next. A still, small voice. That's what you want. That's what you want. I'm going to tell you, God is real. Okay? There's a lot of people that don't believe in God now. There's a lot of people that are content not to believe in God. There's a lot of, it's these generations coming up that in all my studies of history, I have never seen such a preponderance of atheism. And they're fine with it. Usually atheists I meet are angry at God. Not these new age atheists. They're just fine and dandy. And that bothers me. Because it's apathy. It's I don't care. It's like, you're just, church is just for you, just to fill this need that you shouldn't need to have. I have heard the still small voice of God. I have heard it within me. I have also,
I'm not bragging, but this really happened to me.
At the age of 22, and when you're 22, everything is worse than it really is. I thought when you got past 21, you're a man. I was dumber in my 20s than I was in my teens. And so at the age of 22, I was worried, and I just thought everything was just as terrible. I had felt a call to the ministry. I was worried about that. I was worried about my future. I didn't know what I was going to go, what I was going to do. Things just were just up in the air, and I went out and I walked for miles and just walked. And I was in prayer that whole time. And I was praying and I was praying and I was praying. And I just thought, you know, a light's going to shine. There's going to be a lightning bolt. A tree branch is going to fall. Something. And then I heard a whisper. I heard a whisper. And it was a scripture. And it said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That was God. Don't discount it. God is real. God is amazing. God is a very present help in time of trouble. God knoweth our frame that we are dust. He knows exactly what we need. God sends relief. Even when we don't know it, God is taking care of us right now. God is blessing us right now. God is blessing Elijah, even though Elijah ran like a coward, ran for his life, lost his faith, became just enamored with himself, threw himself down, said, I just want to die. Just take my life. And God sends a still small voice and speaks to him. And that got Elijah's attention. And now God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What happened to you? He's honest with God. He says, they dug down thine altars. They killed your prophets. And I'm it. And they seek my life. You know what God told him? Just stop this pity party. Just quit. I could just hear blah, 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 blah. He said, get off his mountain. Anoint this man to be king. Anoint this man to be your successor. Oh, and by the way, I have reserved unto myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. You're not alone. I have got this. You're not in control. I'm in control. Things look gloomy. It's going to be all right. Here, now, I told you to eat, and you ate. I told you to eat again, and you ate. I told you to go 40 miles. I sent you all these things to show you that I'm not in those things. And then you heard me. You heard my voice. You're honest with me. Now I'm being honest with you. Now I'm telling you, here's what you need to do. And I'm going to tell you this. I have got everything under control. Everything is going to work out. I'm going to take care of all this. You just do what you do. And everything will be fine. Now, that will get you out of the juniper tree. And that will put you on top of the sycamore tree. Because that is where a man named Zacchaeus climbed up and he saw Jesus pass by. And he was content just to see Jesus. But Jesus stopped and said, "Come down, for today I must dwell in your house." That will put the Lord in your house. And you'll sup with the Lord. Now that's pretty good, isn't it? That's better than the juniper tree. I've lived to tell this tale, friends. I'm living testimony. May God richly bless you. It's my prayer. May this day be anointed. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. May the Lord bless you all.